You're listening to English as a Second Language podcast, English Cafe, number 54. This is the English Cafe, episode 54. I'm your host, Dr. Jeff McQuillan, coming to you from the Center for Educational Development in beautiful Los Angeles, California. On today's cafe, we're going to be talking about the city of Houston, Texas. We're also going to talk about a recent survey that asked Americans who they trusted, and as usual, we'll answer a few of your questions. Let's get started. If you haven't visited our website recently, be sure to go to eslpod.com. You'll find some interesting things we hope that you'll enjoy. You'll also find a copy of the learning guide for this episode of English Cafe. It contains all of the words we're going to talk about, additional vocabulary that we don't talk about in the podcast, and additional notes about the topics for today. Our first topic today is the city of Houston, Texas. Now, Texas, the state of Texas, is in the middle of the United States at the very southern border. So it's the state that is in the middle between the two coasts, between the two oceans. And Texas is located right on the border of Mexico. Texas, as a state, is very large. It was the largest state, I believe, until we got Alaska as a state. The city of Houston is located in the southern part of the state of Texas. It's actually on the Gulf of Mexico. A gulf, G-U-L-F, is a type of what we would call a part of the ocean. And it is, in this case, part of the Atlantic Ocean. The Gulf of Mexico is that area of the water that is between Mexico and the United States, basically. Houston is known for a couple of things, if you ask the average American, what is Houston famous for? The first thing is probably oil. Houston and other parts of Texas are famous because there are lots of oil wells. A well, W-E-L-L, is a hole that goes into the ground that you can get oil from. You can also have a water well where you get water. But in Texas, they have these oil wells. And so there are many companies that are related to the oil business. Dallas is another city in Texas that you may know about. It's a little more famous because there was a famous television program on American television in the 1980s called Dallas. Maybe you saw it. That's another city in Texas that's north of Houston. But Houston is actually the third largest area, the third largest city in the United States. In the area of Houston, there are about 5 million people. The city of Houston has about 2 million people. We usually talk about both a city like Houston, as well as the areas around it, the suburbs, we would call them, or cities that are close to it, and we refer to that whole area as the metropolitan area. METROPOLITAN. The metropolitan area is the big city plus all of the little cities that are close to it. Well, as I say, Houston has about 5 million people in the metropolitan area. It's famous for oil. It's also famous because it is a large port. A port, P-O-R-T, is a place usually on a ocean where ships come and they can unload their cargo. Cargo, C-A-R-G-O, are things that a ship or a plane carries, usually things that people are going to buy. To unload, U-N-L-O-A-D, means to take them off of the ship and put them onto a truck or a train where they'll be transported. They'll be moved to another part of the country. Well, Houston has one of the largest ports, just like Los Angeles has a very large port. That is another reason why Houston is famous. The third most famous thing about Houston is that it is the place where the Space Center, the home of our space program, is located. It's now called the Lyndon B. Johnson Space Center. Lyndon Johnson was a president of the United States in the 1960s. We sometimes just call him LBJ because those are his initials, the first letters of his names. He was from the state of Texas. The more common name that people call it, especially when we are talking about rockets and ships going up into space, is Mission Control. Mission, M-I-S-S-I-O-N, Control. A mission is a trip that a spaceship makes. We say the spaceship has a mission. We mean that they are going on a trip. They're going to go up into space. During the 1960s and 70s, every time there was a spaceship that went up, especially the Apollo program. The Apollo program was the name of the program that sent rockets, sent these spaceships up into space, and including to the moon. People would watch television and they would listen to Mission Control. And the astronauts, the people who fly the spacecraft, they would talk to Mission Control, and usually they would just say the word Houston. So when they said Houston, you knew they were talking to the Space Center in Houston. Perhaps the most famous quote from an astronaut is when Neil Armstrong landed on the moon, the first human to walk on the moon. And when the ship landed, when it touched the moon, he said, "Houston, the eagle has landed." Eagle, E-A-G-L-E, was the name of the ship. Of course, eagle is a bird that flies. So most people know that quote, "Houston, the eagle has landed." And again, he's talking to the Mission Control, the space center that controls the rockets and controls all the ships and their communication for the space program. So those are some things that Houston is famous for. Houston also has a very large stadium, and the stadium where they play sports is called the Astrodome. The Astrodome. And again, that word astro, A-S-T-R-O, is related to astronaut because Houston is home of the space program. A dome, D-O-M-E, is when you have a cover, usually a round cover, on the top of a building. The Astrodome is a big stadium with a round cover on top, and that is located in Houston. Our second topic today is a recent survey, what we would call a poll, P-O-L-L, where a company goes and asks people questions, gets their opinion on things. This particular poll was asking Americans how much they trust the following kinds of people to tell the truth. In other words, who do Americans think is telling the truth? And they gave them a list of different jobs, different occupations. An occupation, O-C-C-U-P-A-T-I-O-N, is another word for a job. So a doctor, for example, is an occupation. A lawyer is an occupation. I guess a podcaster would be an occupation. Not a very good occupation, but an occupation. They asked people how much they trusted people on this list. And I thought I would talk a little bit about it because it tells you a little bit about what Americans think of different professions, different occupations. The top of the list, number one, was in fact doctors. 85% of people thought that doctors tell the truth. There are referring here, of course, to medical doctors, not doctors like me that can't do anything. The second most trusted group or occupation was teachers, so I feel pretty good about that. Of course, if you don't trust me telling you the results of this poll, then maybe that doesn't mean anything to you. I could be lying. I could say that teachers are number two, and you may be getting false information. Number three on the list is scientists. 77% of people thought scientists tell the truth. Next was police officers. Interesting. 76%. There are often many complaints about the police, especially in big cities like Los Angeles. We've had many problems with the police department. But in general, Americans trust police officers, 76%. In fact, they trust them more than the fifth occupation, which is professors. Now, of course, I used to be a professor. However, professors are more trusted than the sixth group, which is clergymen or priests. Clergy, C-L-E-R-G-Y, refers to men and women who are leaders of religious organizations, especially churches, synagogues, and mosques. A church is a name we give for most Christian organizations. A synagogue, S-Y-N-A-G-O-G-U-E, is where you will find Jewish people, religious people in a synagogue, those who are Jews. And a mosque, M-O-S-Q-U-E, is where you find people of the Muslim religion or those who follow Islam. And a leader of the mosque would be called an imam, I-M-A-M. The leader of a synagogue would be a rabbi, R-A-B-B-I. A clergy man or a clergy woman would be a rabbi or an imam or a minister. A minister, M-I-N-I-S-T-E-R, is the head of a Christian church. Some churches, like the Catholic Church, call their clergy priests, P-R-I-E-S-T-S. A priest is a religious leader in the Catholic Church and in some other churches. The Anglican Church, the Church of England, also uses that word, as does the Orthodox churches, Russian and Greek Orthodox, for example. Those are different types of Christian churches. Well, as I was saying, 74% of Americans trust clergymen and women. Right after that comes military officers, people in the Army and the Navy, people in the military who are involved in fighting wars, for example. I won't go through the entire list. Some of the people on the bottom of the list, journalists, only 39% of people trust the newspaper or the television reporters. Members of Congress, these are our representatives in government, only 35% of people trust them to tell the truth. lawyers at 27%. So not very many people trust a lawyer. A lawyer, L-A-W-Y-E-R, is a person who is involved in legal matters, going to the court, representing you in a court where you have legal problems with the law. Another word for lawyer is attorney, A-T-T-O-R-N-E-Y. And at the bottom of the list was actors, people in movies, plays, and TV shows. That's very interesting because here in Los Angeles, you can guess we have a lot of actors. We have another word for an actor here in Los Angeles. We call them waiters, because many actors who are not successful have to work other jobs, and waiting in a restaurant, being a waiter, the person who serves you in a restaurant, is a very popular job. Now let's answer a few questions. Our first question comes from Alvin, A-L-V-I-N, in Hong Kong. Alvin wants to know the meaning of the expression, get off your soapbox. Get off your soapbox, S-O-A-P-B-O-X. Well, soap, S-O-A-P, is what you use to wash yourself. A box, B-O-X, is a square container, something that you use to put things in. So a soap box would be a box for storing or carrying soap. This is actually an old expression. The meaning of the expression doesn't really have anything to do with soap or boxes. The idea was that in the old days, people would stand on top of a box in order to get people's attention, especially in a public park. If you wanted to give a political speech or give your opinion on certain topics and you wanted everyone to hear, you would want to stand up on top of something, such as a box, so people could hear you. One of the things you are trying to do is to persuade or convince people of your ideas, and you want them to agree with you. The expression get off your soapbox refers to someone who is talking about their subject, their topic, trying to get other people to agree with them. But they're going on for a very long time. They're talking and talking and talking. And you are telling them to stop trying to convince you, stop trying to get you to agree with them. And that's when we would use the expression, get off your soapbox, especially for someone who has a very strong opinion about something and keeps talking about it all the time. This is also used when someone doesn't let other people talk, and they, we would say they hog the floor. To hog, H-O-G, in this case as a verb, means that you don't let anyone else use it. The floor just refers to the place where you are talking or the conversation that you are having. So that's what the meaning of the expression, get off your soapbox. It means stop talking about your particular topic. Stop trying to convince me that you are right. Our next question comes from Yoshiko, Y-O-S-H-I-K-O, in Japan. Yoshiko wants to know the difference between the words layover and transfer. A layover, L-A-Y-O-V-E-R, is when you are traveling by plane from one city to another city, but you have to stop in a third city first. So if you are traveling, for example, from Los Angeles to Tokyo, you may have to stop in Honolulu, Hawaii, before you take another plane or continue on your plane to Tokyo. So your stop in Honolulu, which I think you would really love, is called a layover. Usually you have to stop for an hour, 2 hours, sometimes 6 or 7 hours. You might say to someone, I have a 3-hour layover in Honolulu. That means you have to stop in Honolulu for 3 hours and then your plane continues to Tokyo. A transfer, T-R-A-N-S-F-E-R, refers to transportation once you get to the place where you are going, by bus, by taxi, by car. Transfer refers to transportation between the airport to a hotel, for example, or from an airport to somewhere else where you are going. That would be a transfer. Our final question comes from Satsuki, S-A-T-S-U-K-I, also in Japan. Satsuki wants to know the difference between two spellings of the word blonde, B-L-O-N-D and B-L-O-N-D-E. Well, both of these words refer to the color of a man or woman's hair. It's a light, almost yellow color. That's someone who is blonde. In the United States, the most current, most common use is to use the word B-L-O-N-D for both a man and a woman. So you could say, she is a blonde woman, or she has blonde hair. You would use that for a man's hair and for a woman's hair. However, there's an older use, which is to put an E at the end of the word if it's a woman. So if you say, she's a blonde woman, or a blonde-haired woman, with an E, that would refer only to a woman. So, without an E, B-L-O-N-D can be a man or a woman. With an E can only be a woman. But that is becoming less common. It's more common, I think, now for people just to say B-L-O-N-D and not put the E at the end of the word. Well, that will have to be the end of our words to you. Remember, you can email us at ESLPOD@ESLPOD.com if you have a question. From Los Angeles, California, I'm Jeff McQuillan. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on The English Cafe. ESL Podcast English Cafe is written and produced by Dr. Jeff McQuillan. This podcast is copyright 2006 by the Center for Educational Development.